Welcome to Kansas City Cannabis, where local roots and city pride thrive. Whether you're new or seasoned to cannabis, our expert bud tenders offer guidance and a welcoming atmosphere at our four KC locations. Experience genuine service and hometown heart. Visit kccannabis.org for more.
Pack your bags, start the car, and get on the road. It's time to go across the country, 2 minutes at a time, for the biggest stories of the day, where they're happening.
Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
Indianapolis, Indiana.
Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
Cleveland, Ohio.
Boston, Mass.
Miami, Florida.
It's the 2 Minute Drill on the program.
You're in the program on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Soren Petro with you here on a Friday as we are at Hen House. Great spot to come by and sample the new CBD American Shaman Sparkling Waters. You can try it before you buy it. Of course, CBD American Shaman, the highest quality full-spectrum cannabidiol on the market. And, of course, all their stores, 30% off right now from now until 6 o'clock. 30% off. And all stores on every product in the store. Most customers finding relief from inflammation, pain, anxiety, depression, PTSD, nausea, insomnia. Great pet products as well. Their nanotechnology, state-of-the-art. It increases the absorption and delivery time of the CBD to your bloodstream. Highest quality. Don't be fooled by the imitators out there. Two doctors on staff, third-party lab tested, grown, processed, extracted right here in the U.S., and you can come try their new sparkling waters, the sparkling coconut water with grapefruit and the sparkling watermelon juice with strawberry lime here at the Hen House at 15,087th Street. That is where we are. Here in Lenexa, come on by. You can sample it and then pick it up right here. And, of course, it is sold at all your neighborhood Hen Houses. Let's get the drill going. We start things off in New York City. Scott Seidenberg, ESPN 98.7 is there. Scott, how are you, sir?
Not as relaxed as you probably are with all that product there.
That's right. We're good to go, man. By the way, great flavor. So I think folks will really enjoy it. They're not enjoying Luis Severino being down. And is it true what I'm reading? It's the same injury he had last year at the end of the year. Why wasn't something done during the offseason? Why do we now get to the regular season? Forearm tightness always scares me that we're talking Tommy John. What's the word?
Well, he had two MRIs and a CT scan, and all three tests came back clean. So there really wasn't much for the Yankees to do other than watch how he went out there in spring training. And he said that it's only hurting in one spot on his forearm when he throws the changeup. He said he's been throwing very hard, he feels good, his fastball feels good, but he's worried that when he throws the changeup, he's feeling this discomfort in an area of his forearms. The Yankees are hoping that some anti-inflammatories and shutting him down is going to be the best course of action. Yes, everyone gets concerned when you hear forearm stiffness or discomfort, and especially throwing the fact that the Yankees are going to be without Paxton for the start of the season. You don't want to start losing pitchers this early, but I think this is something that they're going to manage. I don't think it's going to get worse to the point where we're talking surgery. And like I said, two MRIs and a CT scan all came back clean back when he said he initially suffered this, which was during the ALCS last year.
Yeah, so it'll be interesting to see. Is there something they're missing or hidden in there? Because for whatever reason, you don't like to hear that, okay, say we're right back where we were last year when you've just wasted the entire offseason worth of time. Kyrie Irving done for the year. This is a regular occurrence with Kyrie Irving. A lot of injuries during the course of his career. Where's the frustration level with the Nets? I know it's all about next year when Kevin Durant comes online. But well, I don't know why anybody think he's suddenly going to, you know, warrior up and play 82 games next year. Is anybody frustrated with this injury now?
Yeah, I think the frustrating part is that he only played 20 games this year. If you've gotten, you know, 50-somewhat games, and I don't think many people were expecting the full season of Kyrie Irving, because, as you mentioned, injuries are nothing new. This is a guy that averages 60-somewhat games throughout his career, so he never plays a full season. But the fact that you only got 20 games from him, especially when you factor in that in those 20 games, he averaged almost 28 points per game. He showed you flashes of what he could do for this team. It's frustrating. And, yes, this is a bridge season for the Nets. It's all about next year when you have a healthy Durant and a healthy Kyrie Irving and you're expected to be a contender in the Eastern Conference. Like, Nets fans are frustrated because this is a season of possibilities, that you want to see this team grow together and maybe make a postseason run. No one's expecting them to get to the Eastern Conference Finals, but they are contending for a postseason spot. And as I mentioned, Kyrie Irving, despite the fact that the Nets' record might actually have been better at some point without him, he's played really well when he's been on the court. The frustration is that you only got 20 games from him.
All right, what are the Jets and Giants' off seasons going to be? Do we have any free agents that they're talking about? What are they looking to do in the draft? Both of them seemingly have the quarterback. So what is it they need to check this off season?
Well, the Giants need pass rushing help. That is the number one thing on their list. I absolutely think they need to go after the big free agents out there, whether it's Yannick Ngakoue, Kevin Clowney's a free agent as well. The Giants need to be looking at the pass rush market big time. For the Jets, I don't believe that report that came out, what was it, yesterday, that Odell Beckham Jr. sees the Jets as a landing spot. I think that anything that comes out of Odell Beckham Jr.'s camp is just trying to get his name in the headlines. If I'm the Jets, I'm not entertaining a trade with the Cleveland Browns. I'm not giving up any assets to bring in Odell Beckham Jr. I'm using my money that I have in free agency to bring in some players, and I'm going to utilize the draft. The Jets have a good young core. They won 6 out of the last 7 games last year. You know, Sam Darnold is growing when he's healthy and doesn't have mono. I think the Jets are in a good spot. They have to address the offensive line, which I think they will early on in the draft. Or if they address the offensive line in free agency, don't be surprised if they draft a wide receiver, you know, in the first round of the NFL draft. I think that's what both teams are looking at right now.
All right, Scott Seidenberg in New York. Great stuff, buddy. We appreciate it. Have yourself a great weekend.
Anytime, you too.
RJ Choppy, 105.3 The Fan in Dallas, Texas is next. RJ, how are you, buddy?
Doing well. How are you, man?
Doing very good. Update us. Dak Prescott, Amari Cooper, where are we as far as those guys getting locked up long-term with the Cowboys?
We are about the same exact spot we were 6 months ago, which is nowhere to be found. These two players are they're going to get their money. They're definitely going to get their money. It's just a matter of, are they going to get it on a long-term deal or a franchise tag? Are they going to get it with somebody else? I don't know why it's taking so long. It doesn't make a ton of sense why they would constantly – Cowboys don't move at a very fast speed on anything. They really don't. Their front office moves at a snail's pace. They don't believe in market value. They believe in their own value. Like, they say, we don't care what the rest of the market's going to pay you. This is what we're going to pay you, and you're either going to take it or you're not going to play here. And this is kind of how the organization operates. And Dak and Amari, you're seeing firsthand, that's the way it is.
And it's one thing, the open market, if Dak Prescott could get there, he can't. The franchise tag will keep him from getting there. Does he deserve to be the highest-paid quarterback in the NFL? I mean, do you buy it? What was the report? $33 million per year he's already turned down? Whose side of the fans on where this sits?
The owners have really tricked the fans into thinking that anybody doesn't take a team-friendly discount to sell a player. There's a lot of fans that are on Dak's side. There's a lot that are on the team side. But like, does he deserve to be the highest paid? I mean, you know, no. The way the NFL works, then yes, he does. The next man up gets the next best contract, and that's kind of the way it's always been in this league. Or you get at least up to the top five if you're the next franchise quarterback up. And you know, the Cowboys are slow. That Dak wants $37 million, $36 million, and the team is looking at the Goff-Wentz deal as the sort of barometer on where to go with this, and that's where these two sides are having an argument. And also, Dak wants a short-term deal. Dak wants a 3-year deal. The team wants 5-6. Dak wants 3 years. When the new CBA hits, I'll sign up again, and I'll be able to reset the market all over again.
Would they look at grabbing one of the veteran quarterbacks, Phillip Rivers, Tom Brady, and then trading Dak Prescott? Would that be a possibility?
Well, you're going to franchise some teams. You're going to have to give up 2 first-round picks. I don't know what team is going to trade for a quarterback that they have to give up 2 first-round picks and then pay on top of that. That's a lot of capital to give up. I don't think they are going down that road. I mean, Dak's better Philip Rivers. And last year and for the future, he's better than Tom Brady. I know Patriot fans don't want to hear that, but I mean, he had a better year last year. It wasn't really even close. Tom's 43. That's what happens when you turn 43. You start to decline. And, you know, Dak is on the – he's a player that's still on the come. He's got probably two more years before he hits his prime. I don't see them going down that road of getting an aging, declining quarterback.
Okay. Is Shaka Smart down at Texas?
I'll tell you, I don't know how he survived this long. I mean, this is a great state for basketball. It's so underrated. So many great players have rolled through here. They all go play somewhere else. They all go leave the state. A&M's to blame. Texas is to blame. Texas Tech's the only one they can figure it out. TCU, SMU, they all go somewhere else. And Shaka was the latest to not be able to figure out how to keep him here and not be able to not win at Texas with all the resources they have is crazy. When John Beilein left Cleveland, I was like, dude, that's the guy. That's the guy you got to get. But, you know, short of him, I don't know who's going to come here. But they seem to have no direction right now with Shaka Smart. That's for dang sure.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. It does not look good, to say the least. Does KU Baylor even register in Dallas?
For the college basketball fan, it does. For me, it does. I love that. I love college hoops. But now, for the most part, I mean, you know, Baylor, they're about 75 miles away from DFW in Waco. And they're clearly behind Texas A&M, Oklahoma, and Texas Tech in terms of alumni fan base. So do they register a little bit? You know, if they were to get into the tournament, make a deep run, yes, they would register. But they're not on top of mind of most teams, of most fans.
All right, RJ Choppy in Dallas. Great stuff, buddy. We appreciate it. Have a great weekend.
Hey, Tom, you too.
All the way from San Francisco.
Roxy Bernstein, 95.7 The Game, the A's, and ESPN. Roxy, how are you, my friend?
What's up, Saran? How you doing?
I'm doing very well. No complaints whatsoever. And certainly very frustrated that Mike Fiers would be receiving death threats. How pathetic is this, and how serious were the threats?
I think they're pretty serious. If he's coming public with it, I know MLB security has investigated some of these claims or some of these threats on Mike Fiers. But the real scary thing is he's not alone. And even the Astros players are getting threats. I saw Josh Reddick, for example, was getting threats. This has got to stop. I mean, it's the point where it's bordering on it's lunacy, right? Because, look, they cheated a game. And it's a big deal. They cheated and helped them win a World Series. But this is life. And they're bordering. People are bordering on threatening people's lives, which is just sickening and uncalled for. It's disgusting, Soren.
Yeah, it is. I saw a power poll that had the A's as the number two team in the American League. Do you buy that?
I think there's still a lot of questions to be answered with the A's. For example, with the starting pitching. And, look, I'm a firm believer in this team and what Billy Beane has built with David Forrest as the GM and certainly Bob Melvin being the manager of this team. But with the production they got from guys like Matt Chapman, Matt Olson, the emergence, really, of Marcus Semien being one of the best all-around players in the game now, if they can build on that, they have the pieces, this nice complementary players, guys like Mark Canha. If Steven Piscotty can bounce back, I know they love Ramon Laureano out there in center field. The bullpen should be in pretty decent shape. With Liam Hendricks, if he can build on what he did last year, it's just a question of the starting pitching, and they're counting on a lot of young arms with guys like Jesus Luzardo, A.J. Puck, who haven't done it at the major league level. Now they've got tremendous stuff, but you're also putting a lot of pressure on some young arms, and we'll see how they develop and turn into major league pitchers this year because from day one, Soren, they're going to get the opportunity to take the ball every 5 days for the A's.
Aubrey Huff has been quite busy on the Twitter, quite busy offending a lot of people. The Giants are not going to invite him back for the World Series reunion. Was this a controversial decision by them, or is everybody in the Bay Area on board with this?
I think most people are on board with this, Seren, just because of how outspoken and just insane Aubrey Huff is and just how demeaning he is to women, how threatening he was with some of his vulgar tweets that he sent out. And I know a lot of players, for example, that were on that team are not sorry that Aubrey Huff will not be there for the reunion. But at the same time, there's a small percentage of people, and I understand their point of view, that he still is a part of the team. And look, this is an organization that honored Barry Bonds, who I know he never tested positive for taking any performance-enhancing drugs, but we all knew what went on, and he was honored by the Giants. So I think the Giants are picking and choosing their spots. I'm not saying that this is the wrong move to not invite Aubrey Huff. It just seems like there's a double standard with the San Francisco Giants as far as who they choose to honor. But then again, Seren, at the end of the day, it's their choice. They can do what they want, and they're not inviting them.
All right, what are the Niners going to do in their offseason? What are their key moves they need to make to try to get back into the Super Bowl?
Well, I know right now they're short on draft picks. I would expect the Niners to maybe try to trade out of the first round and try to trade down and gather some more picks just to get some talents and players back. Then some of the other moves I think they need to try to make. What are you going to do with Emmanuel Sanders? You traded for him. He was a pivotal role in helping you get to the Super Bowl. I think they got to lock him up and bring him back. Then you also have to look at some long-term contracts for guys like Kittle and Buckner. There's a decision to make about Eric Armstead. Now, the Niners do have a little bit of breathing room as far as the cap goes, but they have to be smart about how they do things because they're setting themselves up for down the road. But I think at the forefront right now for them is they have to figure out a way to get long-term deals for George Kittle and for Eric Armstead and for DeForest Buckner.
We'll see if they get it done. Those are going to be important pieces. And your quarterback, when he counts the big number, it gets harder to keep them fit in all those other pieces around him. We're watching that happen here in Kansas City with Chris Jones and Patrick Mahomes needing contracts. Roxy Bernstein in the Bay Area. Great stuff, buddy. Have yourself a wonderful weekend.
KU Baylor, who you got tomorrow?
Oh, man. I actually like KU to get it done. I'll take the experience of games like
road,
this.
Huh?
Yeah, I'll take the Hawks on the road. They pay back Baylor down there.
Okay. All right.
We'll see what happens. Have a great weekend,
Sounds
brother.
Good, man. You too.
When I get my car back activated, I'm back to Vegas.
Steve Cofield, ESPN Las Vegas, in Las Vegas, Nevada. Steve, how are you, buddy?
That's right. I don't know if I can match that friendly convo you just had there. That was very nice.
I try to be a personable guy, Steve. Not everybody can be a sour, angry SOB like you, my friend. Let's jump right into the Raiders. What has to get done in their offseason other than just show up and have everybody thrilled that they're there in a shiny new building?
They have to get Tom Brady. Now, we've been talking about that a lot as an ongoing topic, speculation that the Raiders could be interested. But put the quarterback thing aside, the most important thing is defense and especially linebackers and potentially a veteran in the defensive backfield. So I think that's where the lion's share of their money is going to go. But, you know, we've also got a guy in John Gruden who spent some crazy amounts of money on acquisitions in the past, so all bets are off.
Yeah, is Brady a real possibility? I mean, they and the Chargers are the two teams that have the shortest odds to go get him, even shorter odds than him being back with the New England Patriots. I mean, do you think that's really a possibility?
I mean, I guess it depends on Brady. I think there's interest there on the Raiders' part. You know, a short-term deal, they're willing to pay big money, I assume. They have the cap room, and listen, their stadium's completely sold out. They have a personal seat license on every seat, and they sold out. So they don't need to sell tickets, but in terms of making more and more money, Mark Davis, I'm sure, is hungry to make a bigger splash than anyone would ever imagine in Las Vegas. So there could be a possibility, and I still think, you know, there'd be some wisdom in at least shopping or, you know, finding out the value of Derek Carr, because this may be one of the last years that he has high value. It's such a, you know, desperate league for quarterbacks. Maybe you get some good return on Derek Carr and make a decision to go in a different direction. You know, pick up Brady and then draft someone for the future.
All right. Tell me, are you just kind of looking ahead to the Raiders? Are the Knights still red hot in Vegas? Do people still love the Knights?
Pretty much, yeah. Well, first of all, the Knights, they started to play a lot better. They fired their coach, replaced them with the old San Jose coach. So they've actually taken off, and they've beaten some really good teams from the East this week. You know, last night, the Lightning, beginning of the week, the Capitals. But, yeah, short answer, the Knights are still as hot as they were. They're sold out for every game. The place is jam-packed, and the retail on the tickets is crazy.
Wow, that's awesome. I'm glad for a guy who lived in Vegas, right? I'm glad to see him, you know, supporting the sports and the teams, and that it's going to have teams there. And it's, you know, growing up as a city, the fight game's still huge there. Wilder, Fury, what are the odds each way, and what do you think is going to happen in the fight?
And to your point about being a sports city this weekend, we've got a Golden Knights game on Saturday. Basically across the street is the fight. And then we've got NASCAR here. So you're looking at like 80 to 100,000 people at the Speedway as well. So the odds, Wilder is a slight favorite at minus 125. So depending on what book, you know, you're coming back at 105. On the Fury side, the lean is on the under, won't go the whole way, at minus 140. So that's the favorite. People think there will be a stoppage.
Who do you think wins?
I don't really have a definitive pick on this one because it's such a stylistic battle. I like Wilder a lot. Obviously, the guy finished the fight, but that's the way he fights the entire fight, is to finish the fight. And Tyson Fury is one of those really annoying guys. Somehow, you know, all chubby as he is and 6'9 and 261, he's actually a brilliant heavyweight defensive fighter. So I'm probably leaning towards Fury. I'm leaning for it to go the distance, and maybe I'd sprinkle a little bit on Fury. Knockout, but I just don't think Deontay Wilder throughout a fight is active enough, and I think he's going to get outpointed. Fury got smashed in the jaw, got up in the 12th round, made it all dramatic in that first fight. I think he's smart enough not to mix it up, and he's just going to sit outside, climb around, you know, throw a lot of jabs, and, you know, out-punch him by, whatever, 40 punches, you know, land 40 more punches, and I think he's going to win the decision.
All right, we'll see what happens. Steve Cofield in Vegas, we appreciate it, buddy. Have a great weekend.
Thank you, Patrick. You too.
Local talk plus national headlines from the people who are there. The 2-Minute Drill on the program with Seren Petro on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
All right, the Jazz into the hour answer. Since 1980, which ironically was when this song was probably at the top of the charts, two Hall of Famers have played both. Have both played for and managed the same franchise. Name either one. That means they were a Hall of Famer. They played and managed for one, for the same franchise.
So, like, to give you an example, like if Troy Aikman and Emmitt Smith had both at one point coached the Cowboys,
right? Or no, actually, it's if player one played and managed for one franchise, player two played and managed for one franchise. Not the same franchise between the two players, but within each player, they played for one franchise, then managed that same franchise, and are in the Hall of Fame.
And that's the NBA, you said?
Baseball.
Question sucks.
I was going to say, if you don't get this one, Petro, I'm going to nominate that this question sucks.
I struggle with the way to word it.
Clearly.
And Ned didn't really come up with something that I thought was good. Someone actually got the idea, and they guessed two guys, but they missed the part where I said Hall of Famer. So
okay.
Somebody understood the premise of the question, just missed one of the details.
Paul Molitor.
That's one of them. Played for and managed the Twins. The other, born on this date.
Just a minute.
I'm not going to tell you. So the other, born on this date.
Give me a minute.
Would you just give me a minute?
So darn.
Give me a second.
Ted Williams didn't manage the Red Sox.
No, I
trying to get Hall,
since
Hall of Famers.
Since 80.
Oh, since 80?
Yeah.
The playing and the managing?
Yep. This guy did play for this team, I think, before 80, but he definitely played after 80 and managed after 80, obviously. So I think this guy first started his career in 77.
All right. 1 second. So he probably played then to about 97. Why? This I'm going to probably kick myself, right?
Nah. No. You'll go, oh, yeah, but you won't be, oh, God, obviously. Because his managerial career was not a rousing success.
And we've already established that this question sucks. Yeah. So.
So let's not spend any more time on it. I will quickly lob out the guess. I don't even have one. I don't know. Who?
Alan Trammell.
Oh, yeah.
Played 19 years for the Tigers and then managed them to the worst record since the 1962 Mets in 2003.
Yeah, that's not good.
No.
That's not good. Great Cajun food from Jazz, a Louisiana kitchen, what we were playing for there. Happy hour. Great time to go right now to Jazz. And, of course, I'll have live music playing at all three locations out at the Legend Shopping Center by the Med Center at 39th and State Line. And then, of course, out by Silverstein Eye Center's Arena there in Independence. We are at Hen House, where you can sample the CBD American Shaman new sparkling waters with the wonderfully infused with 10 milligrams of nano hemp oil. A lot of folks at CBD American Shaman have gotten great relief from things like inflammation, pain, anxiety, depression, PTSD, nausea, insomnia. Pets can even benefit as well, and at all CBD American Shaman locations here in the metro. It's 30% off now until 6 o'clock. And coming up tomorrow, here at this hen house, they're going to be having games, raffles, entertainment, education about CBD at this hen house, 15,000 West 87th Street here in Lenexa. And Neil Smith will be here from noon to 2. So if you'd like to get Neil Smith, two-time Super Bowl champion autograph, or just say hello to Neil, one of the best defensive players in the history of the Kansas City Chiefs, you can do it tomorrow here at Hen House. And, of course, you can come sample their great sparkling waters and also you can buy them at all your neighborhood hen house markets. Also, I want to remind you, going on at Family Leisure this weekend, always a great time. I know weekends are always big for Family Leisure because everyone likes to go out there with the family. They are having home show specials in the store, free delivery and setup on select products like spas, pool tables, patio, and a lot more. You can always save more, of course, when you mention Sports Radio 810 WHB or my name or the program. Go see him this weekend. Great home show specials going on right now. Indoors, outdoors, everything you want if it involves family and fun. It is at, right now, K10 and Ridgeview Family Leisure. Go see my friends there today. As I've said it, I'm zeroing in on a poker table. I definitely want a shuffleboard table too, but I got to make sure I got the right spot for it because they're big. They're big. Foosball, I may have to settle for foosball. Love the foosball. I could then pummel Jed at both home and work. That's to say, if I was ever going to invite Jed in to my home.
I don't want to go to your house.
My wife says that's not going to happen. So, sorry, Jed.
It's all right. I hold the belt just as a friendly reminder to all of our listeners that I don't get pummeled as often as one Seren Petro might infer.
You've held it for a while now because he's been absentee.
I know, and I'm never playing again.
By the way, two different people have gotten on my mention saying that they missed at least one part of that question. So John didn't hear the Hall of Fame part, and Jeff didn't hear the since 1980 part. And I said, the question was horribly constructed. I doubt that anyone heard every part of it.
So we get Jazz. I'll take it.
Yes.
I got no problem with that. Let's hear a little bit of what Bill Self and Scott Drew have to say about this KU and Baylor matchup.
Kansas, Baylor.
Yes, thank you very much. It's always important to give it a great voice stinger if you're going to get to the bottom of it. Bill Self, first of all, talking about Baylor, says they don't really have a weakness.
They could go, you know, basically 7 or 8 starters, so they're all good. And I don't know the status on Teague because I don't believe he's played the last two, but I'm sure he'll be ready for us. But, you know, their quartet on the perimeter can all go get their own shot and can stretch it and can score off 2 feet, which sounds kind of weird, but that means they can go late clock and go create on their own. And then, of course, their bigs, Vital and Gillespie and Clark, and Mayer, if you play him down there, you know, they're just rock solid, and they can all guard, and they can all rebound. And, and can score off of other people's plays and certainly are really good around the basket. They don't stretch it as much, at least their three bigs don't stretch it as much, but they are so good around the basket. So they have a complete team. They're as good a team as we've had in our league since I've been here.
Do we think that's true? A couple things in this stuff to me. One, do you think they're the most complete team in this league since he's been there?
He has mentioned that on multiple occasions, even when not really asked about it. He was asked about the race a couple weeks ago, and he says that they're the best team in the Big 12 since I've been at Kansas. So that's at least the second time I've heard that. So I think he buys it, because he said it during a week that wasn't even a game week for them.
So then, if Kansas wins this game, it's the best Kansas team Bill Self's ever had, correct?
The best team got beat by somebody.
Whoa.
I mean, was Oklahoma State better than Kansas in 08? They beat them. Didn't beat them in Allen Fieldhouse, but Kansas has had teams that have been beaten at home that weren't beaten by a team that was better than them.
All right, if this Kansas team beats Baylor, is it even thinkable that this Baylor team could be the best team the Big 12 has had since Bill Self has been at Kansas?
Yes.
Really?
If they don't lose any more games and they win the Big 12 tournament and are a one seed, sure.
I'm going to say
no. They won at Kansas.
Because Texas Tech went to the championship game last year. I think that they're better than Baylor. I think Curtis is just trying to butter up the answer.
No, you're saying, is it possible to say it? I'm saying it is. I wouldn't necessarily say I would say it, but
okay.
I think
all right.
I don't think losing tomorrow is a disqualifier.
I win or lose tomorrow. Do you think this is the best Baylor? All right, let's quit beating around the bush with semantics. You and your wordplay.
Yeah.
Weird. Which, by the way, Ryan Sandberg ring a bell?
He does. Did he manage the Cubs?
No, sorry. Never mind. That guy who texted me that. Damn you. Well, he couldn't figure out the question either.
I know. That's, well, actually, you know what? I got
Oh, no, no. He says he debuted.
That's right.
He debuted with the Phillies in 81.
He was traded. You know, I should have known that this person would know more about this stuff than me. I should have known. Kurt, nice work.
So then let's go back to the basketball. Stop jousting with me. Is this the best freaking basketball team the Big 12 has seen since the 2003-2004 season?
No, because, I mean, he's taken his own teams out of the mix, and I think the 08 Kansas team was better than this team. I think the 0...
You do? So why did I have to work so hard to get that out of you?
I'm thinking from Bill Self's perspective. He says, because at first I think I was thinking of it was the best team his team has faced since he's been there. If he means this is the best team that he's faced in the Big 12 since he's been in Kansas, that would be true. If he's saying the best team, period, he's not going to say, oh, they're not as good as my 08 team.
Okay, all right, but, all right. So then let's examine that one, and let's please go into the fast forward on it.
Okay.
Not that I have anywhere to be, so from that standpoint, I don't know why I'm so concerned with you know, being expeditious and getting to the answer, but because I'm not going anywhere for another hour and 20 minutes. So, but all right, is it the best non-Kansas team in the Big 12 since 03-04? Is it better than the OU team that went to the Final Four? That. And last year's Texas Tech team that lost in the championship game are the only other two schools that have made the Final Four as a member of the Big 12 in that time. I don't think Bob Huggins' West Virginia team was not in the Big 12 when he went to the Final Four at West Virginia.
Okie State in 04.
Did they go that first year? Okay, so throw them in there.
Yeah, they went Self's first year here.
All right, so are any of those teams? Is this team better than all of those teams?
I haven't crunched the numbers and look at the comparisons. I would say I would bet the numbers suggest they probably aren't, but
I would say that just off eye test, I too don't have any shooting percentages or KenPoms to match up against them. But my eye test is the firepower with Buddy Hield and that OU team was better. And last year's Texas Tech team strikes me as better. I wouldn't necessarily say that the 0-4 Oklahoma State team is better.
Which would suggest that this is, other than Kansas, this is a down year for the rest of the league, which it seems to be borne out by where the standings are. Both Baylor and KU are four games clear of everyone else in the league.
So, right, I mean, because doesn't this come back to the thing we always talk about? Like, listen, somewhere there's the worst 10-0 team.
Mm-hmm.
Right, like when the Chiefs were 9-0 and Pete Prisco wrote that this is the worst 9-0 team and everybody freaked out. And it's like, well, first of all, somewhere there is. If you could figure out a way to accurately quantify it, somewhere we would arrive at what is the worst 9-0 team, right?
Right.
So, like, just if we're going to discuss it, don't get your panties in a bunch if we mention your team is in the discussion, right? Now, fortunately, there's only three fans ever from Baylor, so we don't have to worry about them getting upset.
Right.
So let's talk about these guys. I mean, somewhere is the worst first-place Big 12 team.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't look at this Baylor team, even though they may be light years ahead. They may be of this year's college basketball race. They may be the best team in the country. You know, they may win the national championship. They could still be the 10th best Big 12 team in that time, right?
Sure.
All they got to do is be the best this year.
Yeah.
They're not going to have to play the 08 Jayhawks.
No.
Right? And they don't get dubbed champion of the Big 12 all time. They'll just be the 2020 champs.
Mm-hmm.
So from that standpoint, my eye test on Baylor is like, they're a good team, but and maybe it's just because they haven't been challenged, so we don't have that memorable Big Monday shootout game. You know, they just kind of grind along up by six or seven the whole time. We don't ever see them down eight, roar back, win the game late, trade buckets. You know, there's no, Sherron Collins versus that one guard for OU where they went back and forth trading threes. Like, memorable moment is there from Baylor this year?
Really, it isn't, other than winning an outfield house, I guess. That was more who they played and that they won by 12.
And they led the entire second half.
Yeah, led the whole way, but there wasn't a signature play that we've seen. Yeah.
No, so from that standpoint, you know, I'm not trying to run down Baylor. You know, and listen, this is not setting up Kansas to say, oh, wow, you're just saying that if Kansas loses this Baylor team, it's a terrible loss because this Baylor team's not that good. No, that's not what I'm getting at. I just do think that what we've talked about all year is that this is a down year in college basketball. I think it's true. I think it's true in the Big 12 as well. But it doesn't mean that there aren't five or six, or as Gary Parris said, seven teams in college basketball that measured against this year are hands down better than everybody else. I think there are. And I think two of them are the two that will play on Saturday.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with that for sure.
But they don't have to be one of the great teams of all time. They just have to be the best team this year. And if Bill Self wins the national championship and wins the Big 12 championship, those trophies will shine no less brilliantly in Lawrence than the other ones. If Scott Drew wins those trophies, they will shine like no others because they've never been won in Waco, Texas.
Will they still celebrate the Helms Trophy? Trophies, Helms things, Kansas?
Will Kansas, if they win this time?
Yeah.
They will, because now they're dug in. Screw you non-Kansas fans for ripping us about our Helms Trophies. So now they're dug in, and I think they're going to the wall with the Helms Trophies. I think it's cheesy.
But if they get a fourth,
they get a fourth,
and suddenly they're even with UConn. They're moving up. Next is Indiana at five, I think. So you move up that list, and you start not thinking about the other things, I guess.
I'm just having fun. No, I do think it would fade a little bit.
Yeah.
But, and, you know, Curtis, you brought up the Helms Trophy just for the record.
Yeah,
but
for sure.
Since you brought it up, so anyone who has not heard my opinion on it, celebrating the Helms Trophy is weak sauce.
When you don't need to have weak sauce.
You don't need to.
Your standard sauce is pretty damn good.
You've got three national championships in the modern era, what is recognized as national championships. You've got three of them, and you're one of the winningest programs of all time. You don't need to celebrate the Helms Trophies. It doesn't need to happen. Syracuse has, I think, two of them. We don't claim three national titles. We got one. 0-3.
Yeah.
That's it. That's the modern era of looking at things. Just like I think we may view college football championships 100 years from now as only being those that were won in the playoffs.
Weirdly enough, though, I think you need to have won at least one legit championship to mention the Helms trophies. You know, because you can at least fall back. Well, we do have one. If you've won none and you mention Helms trophies, I think that's really weak sauce. That's weak sauce.
Is there anybody who has
sifter?
Have you looked? Is there anybody who's got a Helms trophy that didn't win?
Oh, I'm sure there is. I'll look at that in the break. But you know,
I don't
you
know.
Said I'm saying though. I mean, I think if you've won a Helms trophy and haven't won any others, and you talk about the Helms trophy,
well,
then stop.
I'm not trying to be a jerk, but do you know what the Helms trophy is?
I do not offhand.
Okay, so that's what it is they backed up behind 39
mm-hmm.
when we didn't have a tournament, and they just went back and through box scores and accounts and whatnot, went back and, for lack of a better term, since the seasons were dead, I'll say posthumously awarded that season's champion to the team that they thought was actually the best.
Mm-hmm.
So it's basically like, you know, after the fact, going back and saying, you know, there wasn't a champion. They just played basketball. They just had league titles. So they said, well, let's try to figure out who it would have been. And after the fact, they measured up everybody's seasons, and they had a committee, and they voted and said, well, this was the team that was the best. I mean, so it is an accomplishment. I want to be clear. It's not irrelevant. Just if you're Kansas, you don't need to pimp that.
Yeah, and there's a handful of them that have. Most of the ones that have won the Helms trophies have not won a national championship.
Is that right?
Yeah. It goes back to 01s, like Yale, Minnesota, Yale, Columbia, Dartmouth, Chicago 3 years in a row, Columbia, St. John's, Wisconsin. They have one, I think, early on. Navy, Illinois, Washington State. There's your Syracuse in 18. Minnesota, Penn, Kansas, Carolina, Princeton, Syracuse, Notre Dame, Pittsburgh, Montana State, Pittsburgh, Northwestern, Purdue, Kentucky, Wyoming, NYU, Notre Dame, Stanford, and Temple. And they gave it to Long Island. They kept giving it out up and through 82. But just the national champion won it all those years.
Right. So, oh, they did?
Starting in 45, every one of them was won by the team that won the national title. Army won it in 44, although they did not win
the national title. Including the 88 Jayhawks?
It ended in 82. 82, Carolina was the last team to win a Helms trophy.
Okay, then did – oh, in 85. Well, who else was a big upset winner in the tournament? Was there one before 82?
Not
the ones
huge.
We always talk about are NC State or Villanova in 85.
Yeah. I mean, that was
NC.
They only
NC
had seating.
State 83.
Yeah, they only had seating for 4 years when they cut it off. Illinois was the worst, or Indiana 81 was the lowest seed to win it of those 4 years. They were three. They rolled everyone that year. I guess, let me think. Texas Western was something. Well, they were 28-1. I guess they weren't. Loyola Chicago. No, I'm looking for a team that had a lot of losses. It wasn't a power team. There really wasn't one. Because the tournament was, you know, there weren't that many. This was, at the time they cut it off, they still only had 24 teams in the tournament. Or maybe they expanded to 32 by that point. Yeah, 82, they had 32 that year.
Hmm. So, all right.
Interesting.
It is interesting. All right, we'll come back here a little bit of Scott Drew on the big showdown between the Jayhawks and the Bears, KU and Baylor. You'll hear it 11 a.m. Right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. We are live at Hen House, CBD American Shaman, letting you try it before you buy it. Their wonderful new sparkling waters infused with 10 milligrams of the nano hemp oil. You can come check it out. The sparkling coconut water with grapefruit, the sparkling watermelon juice with strawberry lime. We're at Hen House, 15000 West 87th Street here in Lenexa. And coming up tomorrow, CBD American Shaman will be letting you sample the waters, answering any questions, and Neil Smith will be here from noon to 2. So make plans to see Neil Smith tomorrow here at Hen House in Lenexa.
The program with Seren Petro.
I know he means well, but he is quite possibly the foulest man I have ever met.
Weekdays from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
All right, welcome back here on the program here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Good to see you, sir. We've got 810 Super Bowl magazines. We were just talking about Nate Buchady, worried he's not going to get one. Well, we got him. We're at Hen House here at 15,000 West 87th Street Parkway in Lenexa. Come by and sample the new sparkling waters from CBD American Shaman. We would love to say hello to you. We are out, correct, of auto show tickets? Three auto show tickets left, so if you want to go to the auto show, come on by and get them. We're out of Mavericks tickets. Okay, so we're out of Mavericks tickets. Just want people to know, in case you're on your way down to see us, we're talking about KU and Baylor. I do like a little bit of feedback. Number one, on my personal texting, one KU fan told me, Curtis is just mad because Missouri doesn't have one of those crap trophies.
Not really. I wouldn't claim it.
Really?
No.
Okay. Another KU fan told me UNC markets their Helms titles as well.
That's just as weak. More, because they have more championships. It's even weaker.
Right? I like this. I think this one's pretty thoughtful. From SKC Fan 1. Helms Trophy. College football basically used the same system effectively until the 2000s. Irrelevant? Question mark. He's right.
Hmm.
Does it make those irrelevant?
Well, I thought you said the Helms was retroactive. Well, I guess
it was
still with the same principle, though.
But he's like the principle of how it was decided.
Interesting.
A committee got together. Right? Ed... on your crappy end of the hour question.
Yeah.
Said, should Pete Rose also be listed there, especially after all the crazy insanity that's gone on baseball lately?
Not in the Hall of Fame.
No, I but that's it. But he's saying.
Yeah. So should, you know, yes. Ed,
if the Astros are going to keep their trophy, yeah. what are we holding?
Yeah.
What are right. we holding oh. Pete Rose out, right?
Yeah.
And isn't that what he's kind of getting at?
I think so.
Okay.
Yes, I see it. He copied me on that one. Should be Pete Rose also, yeah.
I think it's an interesting
absolutely
point.
Yes,
yeah.
He's when I talk about, you know, comparing guys, and Pete Rose only done a Hall of Famer. I'm like, yeah, but yes, he is as a player. I mean, he clearly had a Hall of Fame style career. When you judge when you judge Pete Rose's baseball career, he should be judged with other Hall of Famers because he clearly is one in that regard.
But he's not a Hall of Famer,
right? Yeah.
Just want to clear it up.
Yep.
I'll clear
Should
some things
Pete
up with
Rose
Kevin.
Be in the Hall of Fame?
No, don't get started. Don't get started. by the way, the KU fan texted me back after your statement. That's right. All right, Kevin Harlan's coming up next. We are at Hen House here in Lenexa.
End of the hour question. Brought to you by Joe's Kansas City Barbecue in Olathe, Leawood, and the original in the gas station at 47th and Mission.
All right, he is the only Kansas Jayhawk in the CFL Hall of Fame. Who is he? Brought to you by Joe's Kansas City Barbecue.